You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind, and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through, and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews, and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection, and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. Walk-ins. A different spiritual essence or consciousness steps in to take control of an existing person's body and their pathway, their incarnation. In general, this involves the mutual agreement and absolute consent of both the departing and incoming souls for this to happen, although in my experience, unfortunately, this isn't always the case. So a walk-in can involve a complete soul exchange, like a swap. It can involve soul braiding, where energies begin to gradually blend together. It can be twin soul walk-ins. They share profound connections. It can be mission-orientated walk-ins that come in for specific purposes. Temporary walk-ins, they're not all permanent. Those walk-ins that provide assistance to get you through a challenging phase of your incarnation. There are walk-ins of many kinds. Let's unpack some of the different kinds of walk-ins together a bit more on my show this week. I'll be uncovering the type of walk-ins that I've become aware of during my Future Self Energetic sessions with clients. And also, there'll be something about walk-ins that I've learned about through other people in my spiritual community. So, could you have ever had a walk-in? Could there be anyone in your life that could have had one? And how would you even tell? My name's Amanda Nelson. This is the Future Self Energetic Show for UK Health Radio. And why don't we use the show today to find out a bit more about walk-ins in general? I believe that the majority of intersoul agreements are made before we incarnate, before our incarnation gets underway. Swaps are generally planned and they are agreed in full beforehand. The plan is that when soul number one reaches a certain choice point, crisis or conclusion, another soul, soul number two, they step forward to take over the reins. My personal experience of observing when walk-ins have taken place is it's usually associated with some kind of profound life-changing event. There's always a real profound quality. Things can never be the same. And it's often at that time when the person's going through overwhelming stresses or traumas, or their incarnations become super tough, or something appears irresolvable for them, that space is made for soul one to step back while soul two steps in. Because soul two has the capability, in order to meet the demands of the situation that soul one is finding so challenging. It's understandable then that when a walk-in arrives, people can seem to have changed a lot. It makes sense, doesn't it? That adaptation is what makes the soul able to take on and make the best of an incarnation that's already underway. Sometimes you can tell that this has happened to you personally, because an unmistakable shift that has happened inside you somewhere. Or sometimes other people notice it first, and they may, if they feel able to, they might mention it to you. But either way, everyone becomes aware of the shift at some point. So there are recognisable, noticeable changes in a person's character, their behaviour, radical changes, and emotional responses are not what you'd have expected them to be before. I'd also like to point out that not every shift in personality or capability is necessarily due to a walk-in. It's easy to immediately assume that it could be, but actually, sometimes life challenges can necessitate the need for an inner evolution, a personal transformation, or a profound change on your part. You have to adapt to survive. You have to adapt or you won't thrive, or maybe you won't be able to manage whatever it is that's going on for you. So in this situation, I would suggest there hasn't been a walk-in. Rather, it's the result of an inner deep soul searching and a change in how you or I might actually eventually see our world after that deep soul searching has been completed, or after we've processed it for a while. So things change, how we see our world, our role in it, our place in it, how we express our feelings in it. It's like a big journey of personal growth that's been kick-started by an overwhelming event. And it's taken place as a result of a massive change in perspective, where you're no longer the person that you were before the personal growth began. When this happens, it's actually an upgrade of sorts, I believe. I've noticed a lot of these, especially at the moment. I don't know if you've had one of these where you've had these lightning bolts of clarity. You feel like you understand things. You feel like the veils are coming down and things are more visible than they've ever been before for you. Clients are telling me that it's as if a part of them was asleep and now has just woken up, ready to take the lead. It's really fascinating. There's also another time I'm going to mention when a shift in personality happens, and it's not down to a traditional type of walk-in, but it is a walk-in of sorts. And that's when there's been an entity possession of some kind. Now, I'm not going to cover this on the show this week, but if this is something you'd like me to cover in a future show, then please let me know. Email me on amanda@themasterenergist.com, and I'll do my very best to explain all about this type of possession and how I handle it when I come across possessions in my clients. You know, how to identify when it's happened, and of course what you can do in order to manage and manage this situation and change it for the better. So just before I get further into walk-ins generally, can I say that walk-ins can take place at any time in life? I've noticed that walk-ins can happen at any point in a soul's incarnation, from the point where they are the tiniest, teeniest developing fetus, developing in their mother's womb, right the way till old age, at any point, even at the point just before you're about to pass away. A walk-in can, and they do, arrive at any time. So then, what triggers a walk-in? Well, I've already mentioned a little bit about this in the show already. From what I've observed, it's more often than not at a time of profound change, profound crisis, or some level of trauma. And the change often takes place when the outgoing soul has somehow reached some level of breaking down. Or it can be when they, for example, have to go in for surgery. They have a complete general anaesthetic because they're having some kind of surgery. I've noticed that too. And it can be when they have a period of significant life-threatening illness, or perhaps they witness a life-threatening event. Maybe they themselves have a near-death experience, or they experience in someone around them. You know, even if they've died for the shortest of time and then come back to life again, that's another one of those experiences. So as you can see, it's when something on a very profound level happens and it changes. And as I said before, the soul knows that life can never be the same again. And that's actually because the change has happened. So walk-ins, soul braiding, twin soul walk-ins, mission-orientated walk-ins, higher consciousness walk-ins, crisis-driven walk-ins, soul swaps and walk-ins where the human vehicle, if I can call it that, is being taken over temporarily, not only permanently. Phew, there are a lot of different types. Let's see how many of them I can cover in my show this week. I won't cover all of them, but I will cover a lot.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
We are unpacking the different kinds of walk-ins together today on the show. I'll be covering the type of walk-ins that I've become aware of during my future self energetic sessions with clients, and maybe also a few that I've heard other people who I respect in our community, talking about walk-ins. These are the walk-ins that I haven't yet had the personal experience of, but I respect that they do. Could you ever have had a walk-in? Could there be anyone in your life that could have had one? How could you tell? Let's find out now. Okay then, a walk-in. This is where a new, often much more advanced, much more capable spiritual essence or consciousness, willingly and consensually, it's really important that we bring in consent. It's where they take control of the body, of a life, of an existing incarnated soul. And it's a phenomenon that's believed to occur at a certain point in the person's life, often during a period of crisis or significant change. And the departing soul, they voluntarily leave, allowing the incoming soul, known as the walk-in, to assume full or partial control, leading to noticeable shifts in personality, behaviour, and the trajectory of the life. Soul 1 and Soul 2 will have arranged this. They arrange it to take place before the beginning of the incarnation. So soul braiding, well, this is a little bit different. Soul braiding still involves a walk-in, but whereas a primary walk-in is where there is a complete exchange of the original soul and the completely new one. Soul braiding's not the same. It involves a gradual blending or intertwining of energies between the existing soul and the incoming soul. It's not quite as cut and dry as the other walk-in I've already mentioned. The incoming soul does not entirely replace the original soul with soul braiding, but instead they kind of coexist together, creating a shared consciousness. The best of both worlds, perhaps. During soul braiding, both souls may influence and contribute to the person's life experiences, their emotions, their choices, their overall well-being. This process is believed to be more gradual than a complete walk-in, and it allows a kind of a unique combination of characteristics from both souls to benefit. The idea is that the two souls braid together, forming a collaborative and intertwined energy that shapes the identity. It shapes the journey. Now, twin souls is similar, but not the same. With twin soul walk-ins, the incoming soul that's stepping into the person's life is especially significant and transformative. So it goes beyond a simple exchange. The twins have a shared purpose or mission. The incoming soul contributes to a joint spiritual journey, and these twins share a profound and intense connection. So soul braiding and twin souls, they are not the same. Next then, let's look at mission-orientated walk-ins. I think pretty much all walk-ins must on some level be mission-orientated to a greater or lesser degree. Mission-orientated walk-ins would not walk in if they were not expected to take full control of a person's life with a predetermined mission or purpose that had been agreed. And unlike random or spontaneous walk-ins, yes, they can and do happen, those with a mission-orientated nature are thought to arrive with a specific goal or task to fulfill during their incarnation. It's part of the reason that they've come. Soul number two has a deliberate, designated role to play, a task to accomplish, a contribution to make. And these mission-orientated walk-ins are deliberate and beyond the benefit of personal growth alone. They carry a defined purpose, an intention associated with a mission that's fully aligned with a higher purpose. If I'm allowed to share something, I think I've had a little bit of that happen to me. It's like an intertwining of a soul braiding, and the soul that came in is so mission orientated. She wants to make sure that people understand about how to be an energist and that they know that it is within them to achieve anything with energy. She's really fantastic. And though she is me, I also see her as a slightly different soul. I recognise that she's not the me that's been here permanently, but she is welcome nevertheless. So walk-ins, they arrive with a mission in some cases, not all of them, but some. And then some other ones, they arrive in order to be your mentor and to raise the vibrations. And it can be that they want to be your own mentor and explain to you about something that you need in order to develop, so you can then experience that while you're here on Earth. Or it may be that it's a mentor that arrives, not for you, but actually for those around you. Walk-ins like this often carry knowings. They bring in higher consciousness wisdom and the vibrations of that higher consciousness as well. You can always spot them. They are so easy to spot. It's where that person has changed significantly and you find that there is a depth, breadth, wisdom and compassion that goes along with who they seem to be now. The incoming soul in this instance is thought to carry a really high level of wisdom, a high awareness, a different objectivity. They have a quite different spiritual consciousness compared to the original soul. And this can be permanent, or actually I have observed that it's temporary. It's like you see people, I'll tell you what, this is an example I once saw when I went to see a very popular speaker. I sat in the audience and as they walked onto the stage, it felt like something about them shifted. They delivered the most eloquent, profound and poignant talk. And then as they finished and they left the stage, you could see that the original soul was allowed to step forward again, and the mentoring soul that had come in just for a short temporary period was actually stepping away. Let's take another quick break and we'll talk a bit more about temporary walk-ins.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We're unpacking the different kinds of walk-ins together a bit more on the show this week. I've been covering the type of walk-ins that I've become aware of during my future self-energetic sessions with clients, and a few that I've observed along the way, and maybe a few even that I've heard of from other people in my community that I really respect. And they're talking about types of walk-ins that I might not have had personal experience of yet, but that they have. The question is, could you ever have had a walk-in? Could there be anyone in your life that could have had a walk-in? How could you tell? And part of the how can you tell is what I'm covering in my show today. I'm hoping that if I introduce you to, you know, primary walk-ins, soul braiding, twin flames, permanent or non-permanent walk-ins of different kinds for emergency help, it could be for mentorship, it could be for upgrading. If I explain these, even in the briefest of terms, you might be able to say, oh, that sounds like that might be a walk-in of some description. And also how to differentiate between a walk-in and just something you as a person have achieved, how you've evolved, how you've transcended yourself. That's not a walk-in, that's some kind of an up-leveling, an upgrading. So far in the show, I've covered a lot about more permanent style walk-ins, where soul number one departs permanently and soul number two takes over permanently. But as I mentioned briefly, not all walk-ins are permanent. Some of them are temporary. In the case of temporary walk-ins, certain souls, or even a higher consciousness for that matter, temporarily take control of an individual's body, but it's only for a specific period. Unlike other forms of walk-ins, which may involve a much more permanent exchange, temporary walk-ins are considered to be transient. They are not a permanent state. They are a temporary state. They may be to assist during a time of change, assist until an outcome is achieved, assist until somebody has finished a speech on stage. In the main, I'd say that these temporary walk-ins take place with the consent and full agreement of both the departing soul and the incoming one as well. It's really important. And the purpose is to provide a unique assistance, a guidance through a challenging phase in the person's life. The incoming soul takes control for a limited time, offering support, insights, or fulfilling a particular role during the designated period. And after that, they leave again. So I've already mentioned, for example, somebody had to do some public speaking. There was about 2,000 to 3,000 people in the audience. And it was clear that there was a shift, that as they walked up towards the lectern, that some kind of soul dynamic was taking place. And that as they stepped away from the dynamic, the souls returned to the way they had been before. I've also seen it in hospitals where family members at the bedside of somebody who is very sick, what they will do is the soul number one will step aside while soul number two is able to manage the situation for themselves and everybody around. And then after the situation has reached its conclusion, soul number two steps back and soul number one comes back into the body again. I've had a personal experience of this, as I said before. It's quite fascinating when it happens. But once their purpose is fulfilled, I have no doubt, or for example, the designated time elapses, I have no doubt that the incoming soul that has come in order to assist me will depart, and me as my original soul will resume full control of the body and incarnation again, all by myself. So with temporary walk-ins, as I've mentioned, it's usually when both souls have agreed it beforehand. But it's not always the case. Sometimes, I'm afraid, walk-ins take place because there's some kind of crisis, and it's clear that even though it wasn't agreed beforehand, a walk-in is needed and super fast to help everybody get through a situation. When a soul is in too deep, another spiritual essence or consciousness volunteers to take over to manage the period of crisis. I think either whether this is arranged and pre-agreed or whether it's not, I think it's wonderful that there are souls that are willing to step in and be at our side, don't you, to manage a crisis period for us, to make and alleviate it in the best way that they can, make it unfold in the best and most productive way possible, to keep us in flow where we're not able to be in flow ourselves. I've come across this so many times with traumatized clients. Sometimes they are aware that they're not themselves for a period and they feel like they've actually moved out of their body. Many who are in the spiritual community and who understand about walk-ins will understand straight away what's happened, but there are many that don't. And in some ways, it's really reassuring when you explain how walk-ins work to them and that you have a feeling that this is perhaps what has happened. All that needs to happen is to heal from the crisis, and the dear soul that stepped in at the time of the crisis in order to help them will recognize that the healing's fully underway and that the crisis is now over and their agreement is complete. So everything automatically goes back to normal again. I'd say on some level, whether it's prearranged or not, the original soul must have said that they are willing to step aside. They're rarely pushed aside, just allowing the other soul or consciousness the ability to enter and navigate the challenges presented by a crisis without consent would on some level, I think, break one of the universal laws. And you know, even if the crisis-driven walk-in has left, I've been aware that some traces of the coping mechanisms and the adaptations that someone had to go through that were necessary, they can actually continue more permanently. You don't lose all of the wisdom. You don't lose any of the skills or abilities that that temporary walk-in brought and gave to you. It's clear that the crisis walk-in brings a set of really valuable and unique qualities and perspectives, and they really benefit the soul that steps back in. I would say also, from my observations, it's not only soul number one, let's say, that benefits from a crisis walk-in. Soul number two, the one that actually walked in order to help, they also benefit too. You know, they've been entrusted with the resolution of something that was so earnestly required. And for that soul, soul number two, it isn't only about the giving. They also receive a great deal from it. The experience, the knowledge, the wisdom, their adaptability. There's often a real gratitude that's expressed from soul number two as they depart. And it forms a part of this walk-in's own vibration once they have achieved this mission, a mission that they themselves stepped up to without notice, and that they were willing to, in some ways, put themselves on the line using the skills and all of the things that they could bring to the event. And they were doing that out of love and compassion and a sense of unconditional giving. So we also have to see that both souls benefit in their own ways. Now, a crisis walk-in, I think, often happens after puberty, but it can take place at any time until the soul is released from their incarnation. Sometimes, and this most often happens, I think, really in the very, very early phases of an incarnation, the incarnating soul simply changes their mind about the incarnation. Now, I don't know what could create this. They had chosen to come and agreed to come, and then suddenly they realized that perhaps the chosen life path or the experiences in the incarnation ahead of them are going to be too challenging. Perhaps they feel that the incarnation won't achieve the intention that they have for it. The original soul decides to alter the plan, and they want to return to their energy essence in order to revise their intentions. This happens. I've witnessed it many times. And when this happens, it would really disrupt many of the plans of any associated souls. Don't forget, you're not in an incarnation by yourself. Parents, other connections, events, experiences that were planned in relation to the incarnation are inevitably going to be affected. So if this happens, another soul volunteers to take over the incarnation at short notice. Now, this is not an emergency or a crisis walk-in in the way I've described it before. This type of walk-in is generally unplanned, yes, but their intention is to come and to stay permanently for the entirety of the incarnation. Again, the exchange involves consensual agreements between both the departing soul and the incoming one. But whereas the soul is aware of it, the family are never going to know that this has happened, especially if it happens during the early stages of the baby's life. Very occasionally, the soul that stepped in to substitute at short notice, well, they can feel an increasing sense of discomfort in their life. It's as if it lacks a full plan, and that they feel associated with the plan, like that they feel that the plan that they've stepped into, the incarnation they're in, doesn't really relate to them in some way, which of course is actually the case. It's absolutely what's happened, but they might not be able to understand why. Or it could be that the soul feels that in some way they don't belong in their family, which again you could argue is also the case. Clearly, the incoming soul in this situation has the opportunity to shape their incarnation, but they are often faced with managing it without a plan, without all the connections and right time, right place experiences and the guidance and the mentorship that they're going to need. The plan involves important connections, doesn't it? Events, guides, mentors, right time, right place happenings, as I've said. And with this kind of dear soul, they may find a lot of those missing. It's really challenging. They look to live out another person's life, and they ask themselves, how come the stability and certainty and fluid pathways that other souls manage to experience, well, they don't seem to happen to me. They don't seem to be in my stars. Their stars seem to be a bit more chaotic and challenging to navigate. I'm not surprised. When you come across a soul that's going through this kind of experience, be their good companion if you can, even if it's only for a short while. They chose to come out of complete compassion for another soul that changed their mind at the last minute. Treat them with compassion, because they will really appreciate it. So we've covered many walk-in types on the show today. Just one more, and I think that's enough for the show. There are many more types, but this will be enough. I think there's a walk-in where a soul plans before birth to have another, more experienced soul prepare the physical body for it before it arrives. Once the body's prepared, the new soul then walks into the body. This happens typically during the first few weeks of life. And the process might involve an agreement between the incoming soul and the assisting soul to facilitate a smoother transition into the physical form. It's amazing, isn't it? If you are active in the spiritual community, can I ask a favour of you? Share this show within your community. I know that it will strike a chord with someone, and it could really help them to make sense of something that has happened to them or to someone that they love. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetics show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.